This is Jim Inkster, and welcome back to Talk Louisiana. Our guest is a fascinating young writer, Zinzi Clemens. She was raised in Philadelphia by a South African mother and an American father, and I would say probably somewhat autobiographical. Would that be fair, Zinzi?
That is absolutely fair, yes.
Well, your backstory is fascinating. You were in the third grade when your family moved from West Philadelphia to Swarthmore, Pennsylvania. And that was a bit of a culture shock, I would imagine.
Yes, it very much was, especially, you know, when you add to that the fact that my family was foreign in a town where there were very few people from anywhere else. So it was a lot of culture shock at that time.
Well, here in the South, we sometimes beat up on ourselves about racial issues, but I think mm-hmm. it's fair to say that those issues are not unique to the South. They're in other places, and in places like mm-hmm. Pennsylvania.
Absolutely, yeah.
How did that affect you? With your father being black, grew up in Jamaica, and your mother grew up in Johannesburg, South Africa. So mm-hmm. certainly an eclectic family.
Yeah, you know, I spent some time in the South myself. When I was actually moving out to Los Angeles with my husband, we drove across Louisiana, spent a lot of time in spent some time in Mississippi and Texas. And I think there's actually some similarity between how race is treated in the South and how it's treated in South Africa, because I think things are a little bit more overt in both places. You know, in the North, where I grew up in a town that was very liberal and on the surface was very polite and accepting. But what I found was, you know, there were always these kinds of instances that if you sort of blinked, you would miss them, but they were there. And it was just part of the way that racial anxieties were sort of expressed. It was just a little bit more undercover. That can have its advantages and disadvantages, but one thing that I've sort of seen in both the American South and South Africa is that there's a little bit more ease with people when you can kind of acknowledge that there's some underlying issues, mm-hmm. And I think that we could stand to take cues from that in some of the big cities, and even in Los Angeles and San Francisco and those places. I find that if you can talk about things and put them in the open, you can deal with them a lot better.
Now, your mother, who I think it's apparent had a major influence on you, she died 5 years ago, I believe. And you've been to South Africa a few times and a few times since her death. Those trips, did they inspire you to do the work that you're now doing?
Absolutely. That experience of going between both places really influenced who I am as a writer and as a sort of as a thinker and as a person, because basically what I was doing was from a very early age, because I started going over there from the time I was about 6 months old, I was sort of making this implicit comparison, sort of as I just did, about how things were different over there versus over here, and seeing some of the ways in which race relations are universal and the ways in which they're individual to certain countries. And I think that that does help you to understand, you know, who human beings are and what is the result of a specific country, a specific politics, and specific history. And I've always been someone who sort of observed in that way from the outside and just tried to kind of put things together in that way. So it's absolutely informed who I am.
The book is What We Lose. It's a novel from Zinzi Clemens, a talented young writer, as mentioned, with a great educational background, having graduated from both Brown and Columbia, now living in Los Angeles. But the book, one reviewer, Danzi Senna, who's a good author herself, says, "I love how Zinzi complicates identity in What We Lose. Her main character is both South African and American, privileged and an outsider, driven by desire and gutted by grief. This is a piercingly beautiful first novel." Tell us about Thandi, a major character in this story.
Yeah, so Thandi basically grew out of my own experience myself. I started writing the book from a series of journal entries that I made when my own mother was sick. And those are they still show up in a few passages in the book that are reflections on loss and on illness. But from there, I had to sort of create this character that was divergent from myself. And in order to do that, you know, I had to research certain aspects of motherhood. And I also had to make her feel distinct from me in a certain way. And the way I kind of did that was to think of her as almost like a younger, more impulsive version of myself. And so she has a lot of elements of me, but at the same time, I kind of find her a more exciting character. And I did kind of intentionally craft her to be somebody who makes mistakes sometimes, but I think they're often endearing mistakes. And it was, you know, I think that was really one of the biggest challenges of the book, was to make her into a character that felt real and that felt different from me.
Well, when her mother dies, she searches for an anchor, and this is a principal part of your story, and I guess it's part of your personal odyssey as well.
I think it's part of, it's really a big part of anyone's life who loses a parent at a young age. I think particularly if it happens before you've built a family yourself. What I've seen from other friends who have gone through the same thing is that it kind of kicks that desire to start your own family into overdrive, or sometimes it completely shuts it down, because what you're doing is, you know, you're thinking about your own family, your own roots, and then naturally you think about how you might make your own family yourself. And so I've seen what kind of plays out in the book, someone really trying really hard to find solace in another relationship and to kind of establish another family, and doing that somewhat, again, impulsively is really a common thing. And I wanted to portray that because I think it's just something that would resonate with anyone who's gone through it. Personally, for me, you know, things happened a little bit differently, but that desire I definitely felt myself.
You write, when I visualize my emotions, I would picture a graph. Sometimes I would try to draw it, and it helped to see my feelings organized into a neat line, a process that connoted order and straightforward representation. This is an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something you do in life?
Yeah, and it's something that I thought about a lot when I was going through it. You know, for me, that was really about the idea of death, and thinking about death, and really accepting death is accepting the unknown, basically. And the idea of trying to represent that idea in a book, in words on a page, is really difficult endeavor, because it kind of escapes words, and especially when it's such a huge, all-encompassing loss. And so what I was trying to kind of show in that passage, the way that words and sort of representations fail in the face of something like that. When I was going through it, I was writing about it, I was reading about it, and ultimately there was never anything where I felt like I could really see what I was going through mirrored back at me. And the only way that I could do it was to just try and attempt over and over to say what I was feeling. But it comes out in this very disjointed way, because it's impossible to really represent as a human being, you know, and to think about and really conceptualize what happens when you lose someone like that. So it was a very, very big part of the experience, and the experience of trying to write a book about it.
The passage is quite elegant in the way you describe loss as a straightforward equation. 2 - 1 = 1. A person is there, then she is not. But a loss is beyond numbers, as well as sadness and depression and guilt and ecstasy and hope and nostalgia. All those emotions that experts tell us come along with death. -1 = all of these in unpredictable combinations. It is a sunny day that feels completely gray, and laughter in the midst of sadness. It is utter confusion. It makes no sense. That's from Zenzi Clemens with a fabulous debut novel, What We Lose. And your work and your life, I think, is particularly relevant in these times. We do live in some interesting times, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely do. Yeah.
What do you make of where we're going as a country and a world right now on some of these issues that you address in your novel?
Yeah, I mean, well, we just got some very good news to me about healthcare. I think that was probably the most surprising issue that's become newly relevant. It's something I talk about in the book, is the issue of access to healthcare and the inequality of access in this country, and how basically different kinds of people are disproportionately affected by diseases like cancer, because not everyone has access to preventive care and treatments. And in general, you know, I think a lot of the message of this book is acknowledging complexity, whereas I think what is currently happening is an oversimplification of our world. I think when we can kind of acknowledge that people are different and that we may not understand them, but we can connect on an individual level and over certain experiences, and that's just about all we can do, you know, again, acknowledging the failure of being able to represent and being able to understand. There's a lot of power in that, and there's room for all different kinds of people in the world.
Well, Zinzi, thank you for joining us today. It's been a pleasure.
And thanks, and thank you for having me.